Before Chapman Sharp comes up, I wanted to just for a couple seconds say this will be the last opportunity for the Chapel Next congregation to hear Chaplain Ken preach to us, unless something happens in the next 4 weeks where maybe someone gets sick or something. But on the schedule anyways, this is the last opportunity for you all as Chapel Next congregation to hear Chaplain Ken preach the word. We'll do a formal farewell on the 10th of December when we have our potluck and that. But I just wanted to say he's been a part of the Fort Belvoir community for about, 2.5 years now with the 8 o'clock service. And then when Chapel Next moved over to the 11 o'clock time slot in May of 2016, he took on the reins when Chaplain Kirby brought us to the 11 o'clock hour. He's been a valuable part of not only the chapel ministry, but also running the Family Life Center, doing tremendous things. He's helped us with the hospital, with the TBI clinic for the last 6 months. And the last thing I want to say is that in my close to 14 years as a chaplain, 9 years before that as a civilian pastor, I can count on one hand the number of close friends, tons of acquaintances, on one hand the number of close friends, and probably even maybe on two or three fingers the number of men in my life who I consider to be lifetime friends. And I know as he goes to San Antonio, Texas shortly that he's going to do great things as the deputy at Brooke Army Medical Center. And I will say that we will be lifetime friends. And I know you're praying that the Lord opens the door for me to get selected to go down there next summer, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. But a treasured friend, a great chaplain, a great pastor, and now, as most of you know, too, a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. So for the final time on our schedule anyways, Chaplain Ken's going to challenge us and encourage us with God's word.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I tell you, Jerry has been an awesome friend. The privilege and the benefit of being Jerry's friend is all mine. He's challenged me in many ways and shown me what a loyal and faithful friend really is all about. Thank you, Jerry, for those kind words. It's, I always find it interesting. Whenever I'm always a little bit apprehensive about preaching on gratitude and thankfulness, and or whenever the topic of patience, it seems that God has a really interesting and I think sometimes strange sense of humor, and that whenever when I'm preaching on this topic, it just seems that God uses the opportunity to teach me a lot about either patience or, and in this case, gratitude and cultivating an attitude of gratefulness. And I say that because it was interesting that I was in my office this morning and I was doing some final preparations for this message, and there was a few things I wanted to add to it. And I was sitting there on my computer and getting ready to save it and then print it, and then the monitor just went black. I was like, really? And I could just imagine God up there, Jesus up there in heaven, and he's saying, you know, because I'm going to be preaching from one of the Pauline epistles, First Thessalonians, and I could just imagine Jesus saying, "Hey, Paul, come here, watch this, watch what Ken does. This ought to be fun." And I can just imagine God's just having fun, just enjoying the moment and seeing how I would respond. Well, I didn't respond too well. I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And then I began to think about the message and realize, okay, God, all right. And I said, let's see what's going to happen with this. And what all is going to happen. So, I don't know what happened. I was able to reconnect my computer to another power source, but that whole wall, I guess, went out because there's no connectivity. And with no connectivity, as you know, I could not connect to the printer that was in the other room and print out the message. So I had my message that I had previously written, this message, but it doesn't have the updates. But I don't say all that to excuse or to qualify. If you get a bad sermon out of me today, it's not because of that. It's just interesting how God uses moments like that as we're preparing for especially a message on gratitude. One of my favorite shows I used to love to watch, and even when I was in seminary back many moons ago, the Andy Griffith Show would come on like clockwork every day at 12 noon. And so usually those of us that were in the dorm there at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary would go down into the basement to watch Andy Griffith, you know, every day faithfully at 12 o'clock. So we'd learn so much from that show, and there's always some kind of good lesson. And in one particular episode, Andy Griffith extinguishes a rag fire followed by Gomer, who was the gas station attendant. And he was sleeping on the job. He was in his office, and he had his feet up on the desk, and he was out like a light. And Andy came in to get some gas, and he saw a oily rag that had caught on fire. He put it out, extinguished it. And this was followed by Gomer's overreaction of appreciation. He brings fresh fish to for Andy for breakfast about every day, washes and repairs his car, and pledges to fix the fence, trim the hedges, sweep the garage, and literally carry Opie to school. And I quote Gomer, he says, "The firstborn child of the man that saved my life." Andy conversely tries to downplay his role, and it continues to go on. And interesting story about just, you know, expressing gratitude. Well, which is it? Is gratitude some kind of arduous, frantic payback for how God has treated us, for what God has done for us? Or is it no big deal? What God does, it's in his nature, or maybe that's the way we're thinking. Or why get all worked up with this whole idea of gratitude and thankfulness? Well, the key idea is that gratitude is God's gift to enrich our lives and to enhance our relationships. It's not as if God has commanded us to have an attitude of gratefulness or to be thankful in order that, you know, that he can be puffed up and that his ego needs to be stroked in order for him to survive and be God. But he commands us to be grateful. It is a gift from God to enrich our lives and to enhance our relationships. As we see in several passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11, and Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, show God's heart for us. God is for us. He is for our good. He wants us to enjoy an abundant life. Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly." The objection that God is for his glory rather than our good is somehow, it is a false dichotomy. His glory is always for our good, and they are compatible. In order to And as you've seen, the back of your bulletin has the passage of Scripture. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Just a few verses we're going to look at in this book of that was written to the church in Thessalonica. And the title of the sermon is Cultivating Gratitude. In order for us to cultivate gratitude, and I like using that word cultivate because it really is a good illustration. And for those of you that like to garden, those of you that do a little gardening, and you understand the need to prepare the soil in order to grow things, and that you know that you have to have good seeds, and that what you plant is what you're going to yield, is what you're going to grow. So if you plant bad seeds that are no good, maybe out of date for some reason, you're not going to grow anything. Or if you plant seeds that are weeds, you're going to grow weeds, right? And so I like using this whole idea of cultivating. So in order to cultivate gratitude, we must first understand the very nature and the character of gratitude. And in the first, there are three characteristics that I'd like to share with you that characterize the nature of gratitude. First is that that joyful. Paul tells us to be joyful in every circumstance. Look in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm just going to go ahead and read these verses, and then we're going to go back and look at them. And he says, in starting in verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So the first characteristic that we need to understand the nature of gratitude and thankfulness is this idea of being joyful. And Paul says, be joyful always. He wants us to learn, and in order for us to cultivate this attitude of gratitude, that we must be willing to learn to be joyful in every circumstance. As opposed to happiness, and there's a difference between the two. We often confuse happiness with joyfulness. So as opposed to happiness, which is a transient delight in momentary circumstances, joy, rather, is a state of mind. It is an attitude that focuses on the bigger perspective of God's goodness. It looks at the bigger picture and understands that bigger picture and has an understanding of the larger mission or the bigger picture. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, it is this truth and understanding that Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, is this kind of attitude. This is the foundation for which we are able or are empowered and enabled as Christians to have gratitude, to have joy in every circumstance that we find ourselves in, whether good or bad. We can experience joyfulness in our lives. I don't believe that Paul would have wrote it if it were not true. And he often said, and this is a man that wrote a lot of the New Testament while he was in prison and in captivity. He said, be confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Jesus Christ. He was referring to Jesus Christ, who began that good work in you and in me. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We are empowered to be able to have joy in every circumstance. The next characteristic that we see is in verse 17. Paul says, I love the simplicity of this. In verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Two words. Second verse, three words. Pray without ceasing. This is the second characteristic that we must have to understand, the second ingredient to cultivate an attitude and a life of gratitude and thankfulness. We must be prayerful in every moment. Pray continually implies an uninterrupted communication with God. Now, I remember the first time I read this, and I thought praying continually, the whole concept of praying continually just didn't make sense to me, because my whole attitude and understanding of prayer was that prayer was something that you did formally, where you knelt down or you went to the altar and you crossed your hands or like this, and you had this position where you prayed formally. And I thought, well, how can I do that all the time? I mean, there would be a lot of car accidents out there if everybody was praying formally while they were driving. And actually, in the same way, like a cell phone that we never seem to turn off, do we? We always have that cell phone on, so we're able to have that constant communication with people. And we never, so in the same way, prayer is very similar. And I see people, you know, of course, you've seen people texting while they're driving, and they shouldn't. But wherever they are, you're having that phone on all the time. And just imagine with me for a moment if we were to learn to do that in our prayer lives. If we were able to have an attitude of prayer. And I think that looks something like, now, you know, when we're driving down the road, we don't just, you know, close our eyes. And although I did that to my mom one time, we were driving and she was on my right side, and she wanted to pray before we went on this trip. And I said, okay, let's pray. And said, Mom, I'll let you pray. And so as we were driving along and she was praying, I sort of bowed my head a little bit, and I closed my right eye and left my left eye open. And she looked over at me. She said, no, open your eyes. So you don't want to do that. All right, keep your eyes open. But we can have an attitude of prayer by simply just wherever we're going. And if you know you're going into a circumstance or a situation where you just need to seek God's guidance and you need to pray, that we can just pray in our hearts and pray to ourselves, so to have this attitude of praying continually. It's a state of mind. The third characteristic is in verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think it's, you know, that a man like the Apostle Paul certainly has a lot of credibility and is certainly able to say that. He's able to say, look, you need to give thanks in all circumstances. Because he was able to do that as well. And all the circumstances that he found himself in, whether it was shipwrecked on an island or got bit by a snake or whatever, or when he was getting beaten, and when he was in jail, and he was in a cold, dark, damp jail and wondering, you know, what was going to become of him, and maybe wondering what was in store for his future. But he was able to give thanks in all circumstances. He even said that I've learned the secret of contentment. Whether I'm rich or poor, I am content. Because he had his focus, that his riches, that his life, that his joy, that his substance, that his sustainment in life was all contingent upon God. And only God could sustain him. And so he understood that and he knew that. So be thankful in every situation. You know, rating every event, good or bad, we label each day based on the sum of the ratings, which causes us to fail to recognize that the negatives highlight and give value to the positives. Ingratitude in the process, on the other hand, it diminishes the value of the gift and of the giver. I find it interesting that even something that was preached by the Apostle Paul, that the God's word, and really we see this thankfulness, this teaching, and this mindset of thankfulness throughout the Bible, especially if you look at and read the book of Psalms. That word thankfulness is mentioned pretty much on every page. But I find it interesting that even our scientific community has learned the value of gratitude. And there was a research study done by a contributor of Forbes magazine. And this is what these are some of the benefits that they have discovered based upon their research of gratitude. She says, in fact, gratitude may be one of the most overlooked tools that we all have access to every day. Cultivating gratitude doesn't cost any money. Really? And it certainly doesn't take much time. But the benefits are enormous. Research reveals gratitude can have these seven benefits. One is that gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends, according to a 2104 study published in Emotion. Okay, I don't know where that's not a date. That can't be a date. The study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. The second benefit they determined was that gratitude improves our physical health. Now, there's been a lot of studies that have been done on that. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more often and are more likely to attend regular checkups with their doctors, which is likely to contribute to further longevity. Number three, the gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert A. Emmons, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, I didn't know there were gratitude researchers, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. The fourth one is that gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, even when others have behaved less kind, according to a 2012 study of the University of Kentucky. Study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when giving negative feedback. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge. I tell you, there is one great way. If you're really having a difficult time with an individual at work or a family member, and you're finding that you're having a hard time with that resentment and maybe bitterness toward that person, one way that you can eliminate that is pray for them. Begin to pray God's blessings upon that person's life. And I tell you what, that resentment and that hurt and that bitterness that you feel, it just, there's no room for it. It just melts away. And then, see, this is what God wants us to do. It's not that God wants us to thank him for his benefit, but it's more for our benefit. He knows that if we have an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness, that we'll be healthier. So he's known this for a long time, long before this study ever came out. From the beginning of time, God has known this, and it has been in his word, this Bible, that is over 2,000 years old. Amazing, isn't it? Gratitude, grateful people sleep better, it says. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology, Health and Well-Being. Spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. That sounds like a good idea. Gratitude improves self-esteem. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, which is an essential component to optimal performance. And then the last one, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown that gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. And a 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Wow. Gratitude. Last of all, I just want to give you four quick applications. I know we're running a little bit over on time, but I just want you to hear these four things. In order to cultivate an attitude of gratefulness, there are four things that we can do that I think that will help you. And the first one is that we must repent of the sin of entitlement, of this attitude of entitlement. Charis, or grace, the word grace, meaning a benefit I didn't deserve, is the root of the Greek verb give thanks, eucharisto. Thankfulness is the acknowledgement of that benefit. Entitlement, however, on the other hand, takes it for granted, cultivating dissatisfaction and discontentment. The second thing that we can do is, we repent of the sin of entitlement. Second is to pause. Gratitude grows in the pause. Learn to be still and know that he is God. Busyness in life is a barrier to reflection on God and his good gifts, and therefore a barrier to the expression of gratitude for those gifts. Third is to capture built-in reminders that we have, like today, Veterans Day, taking the opportunity to thank veterans and to show gratitude towards veterans. Our cultural and spiritual traditions offer us a lot of built-in reminders for gratitude. Taking advantage of cultural days like Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and Thanksgiving. Or spiritual celebrations, Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter, in our weekly gathering of worship. Or Resurrection Day, to develop this lifestyle of gratitude. And then fourthly, model this attitude of gratefulness and pass it on to the next generation. Children often feel entitled rather than grateful. If spiritually minded adults don't model gratitude, where will our children learn it. And I know that I am guilty in my own life of being a person that tends to be negative. I see the half glass half full or half empty rather than half full, as opposed to my wife who sees the good in every situation and sees the good in people, that I need to learn. And I realize that sometimes my attitude has been passed on to my children. And so we must model this attitude of gratefulness. Whatever our circumstances are today, we do know this, that Jesus loves us and that he died to take away our sin, secure our place in his kingdom. That gift alone is worth our gratitude, that we love others because Christ first loved us. And that's that alone ought to be, I mean, that is the foundation for our gratefulness. That is the foundation for our attitude of gratitude, is that we have that love of Christ. And because he first loved us, that we must be willing to love others. So we should all commit today to become people of gratitude. And we will be thankful that we did.